Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Mark here with you on this Thursday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. A massive game for the Tennessee Volunteers coming up this weekend in Norman, Oklahoma. It is the beginning of conference play for this season. It is the first SEC game in Oklahoma history. And, of course, it's the return of Josh Heupel to Oklahoma as well, which we talked about the other day on the program, looking ahead to this game as well. Joe, Tennessee remains about a touchdown favorite in this game. We talked about the rat poison. A lot of rat poison around Tennessee right now. A lot of Tennessee fans think they're going to march into Norman and just absolutely destroy Oklahoma. We'll see what happens. Oklahoma has not necessarily been impressive to this point. But as we said the other day, I'm not sure that Tennessee has really played a great football team yet. NC State, the more they play, the less impressed I am with them. And certainly Chattanooga and Kent State do not qualify as good football teams. So I think we're going to find out a lot about exactly how good Tennessee is this weekend in Oklahoma. But it is a ranked matchup. It is a road SEC game against a big-time program. So, Joe, with that kind of all in the backdrop, if Tennessee is able to go out on the road this weekend, play well, and they walk out of Norman, Oklahoma with a win to get to 4-0, what does that win signify to you? What does that signify to the rest of the country about this Tennessee football team that Josh Heupel has assembled this year?
Well, any win is huge. And any win for Tennessee, to me, puts them in terrific position for the college football playoff. A lot of football left, but essentially a win means you can lose the Alabama and Georgia games, and then you don't suffer a pretty significant upset otherwise, because I look at the rest of the schedule and I don't want to hear anybody talk to me about Florida and the history of that series. I'm not listening to you. I look at the rest of the schedule.
I'll just shut
and
up
well, I mean, like, there, even within all the misery of Florida, there are random years where, you know, it's like, okay, it's just not happening for the Gators. And this would be, they're going to blow the Gators off the field. So I'll jump on that one with Vol Twitter. You want to start talking trash to Gators fans, do it now. Get in on the ground floor, okay? But the rest of the schedule, it would be, to me, quite stunning given just how good and strong and deep that front seven is on defense and everything they have going on offense, that they would lose any of those games. So if you win this game in any way, you are in really good shape to make the 12. You just have to avoid a pratfall. But yeah, this idea that they're just going to go in there and just trounce them, I'm very hesitant on that. I mean, two of these three opponents for the Vols, Robbie, is like when you're a little brother, or, you know, you and your little brother go with your mom to like JCPenney when you're a kid, and you're like playing catch, and like the mannequins, you're trying to pretend they're playing defense against you in the store, you know? Thank you. It wasn't real football. So that's two. And then the NC State game, the Will Brooks pick six, it basically just completely collapsed in there. They've played like 20 minutes of football where there was any question at all about what was going to happen. NC State had a good scripted first drive, actually had a good drive before the pick six, gave him some challenges, picked off a Nico pass. But other than that, it's been very little stress. And sometimes stress and adversity are good for a team, where Oklahoma's had a ton of it. So a year ago, well, speaking of Florida, we were talking about the Vols have no reason to not go in there and just beat the stuffing out of the Gators, and we know what happened in that game. Different team, different quarterback, all that stuff. But I would not be overconfident in expecting a big blowout if you're a Vols fan.
Well, no, like you said, win the game. Like any win on the road at Oklahoma, whether it's by 1 point or if it's by 30, I mean, you'll take if you're a Tennessee fan heading into this. I look, the eye test is what it is, right? Like Tennessee, you can tell by watching them play, regardless of the opponent. Like they're a good football team. It doesn't take much to figure that out. The quarterback is very good. Is he perfect? No, but he's pretty darn good. That front seven is going to be an issue for most of the teams that they play on their schedule. I don't think this weekend is any different. I think if you're identifying one matchup that you feel pretty darn good about, Oklahoma's offensive line has not played very well, and Tennessee's defensive front is deep and talented, and I think they've got an opportunity to really put a stranglehold in the game on Saturday. Having said that, I mean, Oklahoma's got a pretty good defense, and I don't know, like, how's Nico going to handle that on the road, in the environment? Can you put together some deep plays down the field in the passing game, some explosive plays that way? And are you going to be able to run the ball? I don't know that with the same effectiveness that you have is even a fair comparison, because they're running for 300 yards a game. If they run for 300 yards on Saturday, they're going to smoke Oklahoma. But can you run the ball really effectively in this game where you stay on schedule on your offense? Because, I mean, that to me, if you're Oklahoma, that's how you stop Tennessee, is you slow down what they do on first and second down, get them into third and long. Like that's what you have to do if you want to slow down Josh Heupel's offense.
Absolutely. We've talked about before that, you know, this defending this offense, the most important down is first down, because if you actually have a chance to line up and look at things and get your breath, and you need to win that down, you know, and then from there, you give yourself a chance if you do that. And look, Venables, it's a really interesting situation too. A couple years ago, I did a story on like this offense. I talked to some people. They were talking about, so back in the day, when Venables was at Oklahoma previously, he was the DC. He was with Heupel.
Yep.
And it was before he went to Clemson with Dabo. Like, apparently, there's a famous Oklahoma game against Baylor where it was like embarrassingly bad. Like they just absolutely got destroyed because Venables tried to do all this fancy stuff and had a playbook. And it's like, you can't do that against this offense. Like they stretch you out and you'd have to declare all this stuff. And but he has since had success against it. I mean, he figured that out, later in his tenure. So, I mean, this is what he is. He's a defensive guy. That's why he got this job. It has not been great yet at Oklahoma, but after that 6-7 debut, they went 10-3 last year. And I just think in their stadium with the energy they're going to have, I mean, they're going to be flying around. You figure they're going to get some stops and probably, I mean, another big way to deal with this offense is you got to hit the quarterback every chance you get. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's sometimes the protections are just, they don't have big protections. And so, if you can take away the quick throw and get after the quarterback, I mean, I fully expect roaring crowd, amazing atmosphere, defense flying around, making things tough on the Vols offense, early. If the Tennessee gets a drive early and just goes right on the field and scores, then okay, then that could be problematic for Oklahoma. But I think that, that side of the ball, it's just hard to know. I mean, how good are Tennessee's receivers against top talent,
right?
I know Dylan Sampson's really good. How good is this offensive line? And by the way, we got injury reports now.
Yep.
And Lance Hurd is questionable. I mean, Dane Davis at left tackle, that doesn't sound great.
It's not
in
what
this
you want.
Game.
No, I mean, they need Hurd out there and available to play. I mean, the other part of this too is, like, to me, I've kind of highlighted three games all year long where, like, if Tennessee is going to hang in there with Georgia, if they're going to have a chance to beat Alabama, and then going on the road to Oklahoma, and this was heading into the season, Nico's leg's going to have to be part of it, right? Like, he's going to have to make some plays with his feet, which is why when he took off running the other day against Kent State, I was screaming, "What are you doing? Stop running against Kent State." But I do think, we've seen enough from him. We saw it in the NC State game too. He's shifty back there, And there's going to be, I have full confidence in this, there's going to have to be a couple of times on a third down in this game if Tennessee's going to win where he sustains a drive with his feet. Like, he's going to have to make a play with his feet, whether it's scripted or non-scripted, and get out there and pick up a first down. Like, I don't think you want to overuse it because you don't want him taking unnecessary hits. But you got to find a way, like, if you're him, when the time comes that you've got to pull it down and run, I think that's probably going to be required from him a couple of times on Saturday to keep some drives alive.
Oh, I absolutely agree. You know that'll happen. Again, they're going to send people at times. Again, this offense makes it tough to do a lot of things, a lot of pressures, but, you know, this is still a very talented defense. I mean, there's no question about that, and a well-coached defense. And I think Oklahoma's defense is going to be a strength all year. The offense is the part for Oklahoma that has been a struggle. But I think the defense will challenge Tennessee, and I agree Nico's going to have to convert with his feet sometimes. And also, I mean, I think he's going to have to make pressure throws like he has not had to make in his career. I mean, he just hasn't. You know, the Iowa game got out of hand pretty quickly, and obviously this year, again, they're playing catch in J.C. Penney's. So this is a huge moment for Nico to kind of see, you know, where that's going. I mean, I think overall – it's been very encouraging. He's made some throws where you're just like, man, the talent is there, but he's going to face some things in this game he just has not faced yet in college football.
Well, and I'll tell you this, like, it's somewhat there now. We're still pretty early into the year, but there's talk about it right now. But if he goes out there and plays great and Tennessee wins and Nico looks awesome, the Heisman talk going to start to get out of control with Nico. I mean, it's gonna be loud, especially for Tennessee fans. But I mean, you're in front of the whole nation Saturday night. Like, everybody's gonna be watching this game on ABC, Tennessee, Oklahoma. And there's you only get so many opportunities every year, Joe, where everybody's watching you, and this is gonna be one of those for Nico.
Yes, it's very early on that front. Yeah, you know, one thing that. And it, you know, it's just how it is. It's seriously a problem with playing teams that bad. He hasn't compiled the numbers that you easily could have by now.
Right.
You know, I mean, the numbers are good, but like, if you played somewhat competitive teams where your quarterback's playing like at least three quarters, you'd have more numbers compiled. I think right now Quinn Ewers winning at Michigan helped himself a lot. And I think Jalen Milroe last week, the game that you saw in Madison, helped himself a lot. I also think both of those teams that they beat are not great,
right,
and are not going to be great. But no, I agree. This is the biggest game of the week. And I know a lot of people are going to still want to watch Arch, you know, cause Arch is starting, but no, this is absolutely a chance to announce himself in that campaign for sure.
I got a really interesting question on our text line on Tennessee I want to get to coming up next. We'll do that. Take your thoughts as well on the Vols in Oklahoma. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at John Bon Jovi's this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. For the pregame show, they'll break down the Titans' Week 3 matchup against the Packers, give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Tennessee taking on Oklahoma on Saturday, the national spotlight game on ABC. How about this question on the text line, Joe? Now, as I said, a lot of Tennessee fans feeling very confident heading into this one. Some think they're going to go in and win by 30. This question on the text line, would a Tennessee fan rather take a win by 1 point today, or would you rather play the game Saturday and see what happens? I would take the 1 point today and just move on. That's me. My guess is that there's a significant portion of the Tennessee fan base that would not do that.
Okay, well, let me translate what you just said. My sense is there's a significant portion of the Tennessee fan base that are total freaking idiots.
Look, they think
that is not a good question.
They're going to walk in there. They think they're going to walk in there and win by 35 points. They do. They've been talking about it all week.
How can you be a member of this fan base?
I know.
given the last quarter century? No. I'm going to take my chances. I want Heupel to onside kick up 40 in the fourth. No, if you get a one-point win here, that's celebration.
Yes.
You are now in great shape to make the playoff. Oklahoma's good. Oklahoma has talented players all up and down the roster. It's a night game on the road. Dude, get a grip.
I'm telling you. I don't know that I would say it's over 50% because I don't think it's that.
No.
But I do think that there is a significant portion, call it 25%, call it 30, whatever it is, that absolutely would not take that and say, no, we're going to destroy them. We don't need to take the 1 point. We're going to destroy them.
Absolutely asinine. Absolutely asinine. I think this is going to be a good football game. And by the way, speaking of the injury reports, okay, so the biggest issue for Oklahoma has been their offensive line. But the big issue with that has been injuries.
Yeah.
You got a couple guys, Branson Hickman and Jake Taylor, who are questionable. But starting center Troy Everett. Now, think back to last year when Everett has not played. But think about it back to last year when the Vols were missing their starting center. He was banged up all year. What did that do? You know, it was part of the equation of the struggles. You know, everybody wants to hope it was all Joe Milton. It was not all Joe Milton. So Troy Everett's probable. So you bring him in. Also, Nick Anderson's their best receiver. He has not played. He's probable. So he's going to play, and Troy Everett's going to play, and they held out Kendall Dolby, their starting safety, and he'll be back, and he's a very good player. They held him out last week. So, you know, we'll see with these questionable guys, but just having the starting center back and your best receiver back, do you think maybe their offense looks a little different now? I would say it does. Look, Oklahoma, I watched the whole game Saturday. You know, Jackson Arnold, very good with his feet. He is going to escape the pocket. He's going to make plays, you know, up and down as a passer through a bad pick six, but he's talented. Now you give him his best receiver. You know, they've had struggles, especially on offense. But I do think there's something to a team that has been through these tough games and has had to take some knocks, still finds a way to win these games, and then gets to this spot where it's like, oh, by the way, it's been since the 70s that a ranked Oklahoma team has been this disrespected by the odds makers going into a home game.
Yeah, there's that.
Take the one-point win. Oh, my God.
Jackson says, that question is why Vols fans are the absolute worst. I got Remington on the text line. Says BVS kicking in, battered ball syndrome, for those who don't know.
Yes.
If we destroy OU, the first person they call after they fire Venables is going to be Heupel. I want to win, but only by enough to ensure that Brent stays for a while. That's from Remington. He's playing chess.
Oh, my God.
I would like to beat them, but I would like to limit the damage so they don't call Josh Heupel. I like that.
Is there any way to beat them while our coach looks like an idiot in the process? Can we have a really bad play calling night but still win?
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and talk to, like, I haven't thought about that this week. Like, if Tennessee just waltzes in there and destroys them, if they fire Brent Venables at the end of the year, do they call Josh Heupel? I've thought about it.
I would say maybe. If Venables, I don't think he's going to get fired after year three unless it's a really bad year. I don't think they're going to have a really bad year. But, like, next year, you get to year four as Oklahoma coach, and I do think that you've got to step it up. You got to get to a higher level. And would they be interested if Heupel and Tennessee are going to continue on the rise?
Yeah.
Sure. I really don't think they would get Heupel away from Tennessee. I've seen some Vol Twitter and Sooner Twitter back and forth on that, which it's like, what was the fan bait? I mean, last year, it's all the Texas and Texas A&M. Like, well, we'll just get Vitello then.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think you will. I think even though it was Stoops, it wasn't Oklahoma, right? It was Stoops' decision, Bob Stoops, to fire him 10 years ago. And I know that's where he went to college and he spent a lot of his life. But why, if you're him, other than, my God, I need to live in Norman, Oklahoma again. Oh, I love it so much. What would be the – there's really nothing that you can have there that you can't have at Tennessee, and I would argue that you probably have some things a little bit better at Tennessee.
Oh, it would just be the idea of going back to a place that you love, I think is what it would be at that point. I mean, as long as everything else is close, right? Like the money is close and all the other things, your advantages are close, then I think that would probably be the thing. But look, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves talking about like Heupel and the next.
I know, but I do have one more point to make on that, though. You know, Heupel's kids are at an age where if they like where they live, their kids, their home and their heart is with the Vols.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So to me, as long as you don't have an issue in some way that we don't know about, why are you uprooting your kids to go back to where, you know, maybe they were baby? I mean, I don't think it's a thing.
No, that's a really good point. I mean, look, I'm not saying Tennessee can't go in there on Saturday and just totally boat race Oklahoma, because there's definitely a scenario where I could see that happening. I think that Vols fans that are just totally expecting that, of which there are many this week, I think you need to be a little bit more careful than you're being right now. Again, Tennessee looks really, 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 really good. I'm not convinced that they've played anyone to this point. NC State, the more NC State puts on film, the worse I think they are.
They're one of the worst teams in the ACC as of now. I mean, that is including just a dreadful performance against Tennessee. There is a fool's gold element to the whole thing. Not that there's a fool's gold element to the roster. I mean, we know there's a lot of talent. We have not seen this offensive line like really tested. And again, the guy they brought in to be left tackle is questionable. And now another thing I'm seeing is like these stats, like look at where they rank nationally. Yeah, dude, again, they've played two games against husks of humans. Punt passing kick exhibition, you know, by full price, by the way. But you know, I know it was fun to watch. What's that?
So that had been a whole lot of punting going on.
Well, right, the other team was punting. Yeah,
there is that.
There's a lot of things about this game that are setting up for it to be like, after a quarter of play, be like, oh my God, what am I watching?
615-737-1025, our phone number. More on Tennessee versus Oklahoma coming up next. We have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 745. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, the game this Saturday at 7 o'clock for our college football game of the week. Baylor taking on Colorado, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up here in just a few minutes. Charles Robinson will be with us for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. Talking Titans and all things NFL, so looking forward to that. Coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, taking your thoughts on Tennessee taking on Oklahoma on the road on Saturday to kick off SEC play. By the way, Joe, they've just announced their uniform. It's going to be the all-white Stormtrooper look for Tennessee, so they're not getting too fancy with the uniform, which I know you will appreciate, being the old boomer that you are.
I do. I mean, so they've played what, two home games? The NC State had home unis, right? They had the red.
That is correct.
Okay, so the Vols will play two home games, and we still haven't seen just orange jerseys and white pants, which is an awesome traditional college football uniform.
That is correct.
So that's four games. We still haven't seen that, but okay.
You will not see it until at least October the 12th.
Seriously?
Yeah. They're not home again until October 12th.
Oh, okay. I thought you had okay. And I'm sure then they'll do like, oh, here's a new thing with green in it and some purple.
I feel confident you'll see it against Alabama for sure.
Yeah. You know what's awesome is when you have a great uniform and then you wear it. If I'm a Vols fan, you know what? Hit me up for an 11%, 10% talent fee, 1% wear your freaking uniforms. Okay? Add a percent to my season tickets.
I think most,
measuring cheek size.
Most people like the smoky gray and kind of the different uniforms they do from time to time. Don't have to do it all
do
the time.
They?
Just time to time.
Do they?
Jake in Greenbrier, our buddy, says, I think Tennessee wins by two scores. But as the games go by, NC State's win, unfortunately, looks more and more like the Virginia win last year. There's a massive unknown element Saturday. I'm terrified of a 2022 South Carolina repeat. That was on my birthday, and I was surrounded by loved ones. PTSD is from Jake on the text line. It would be,
Ouch.
I would be stunned if it was a repeat of that. Does anybody know where Connor Stallions is this week?
I don't know. His absence seems to be hurting Michigan more than it's hurting the Harbster.
It does.
But, yeah, that's a good question. By the way, just real quick on this question of the 1 point, which is just it blows my mind. Scott says, now as a Vandy fan, do we take a 1 point loss now or go play this weekend? I'll take the 1 point loss. That's pretty good, Scott. That's pretty good.
Oh, that is good stuff.
Dennis is like, what if you have the Vols losing and Malik winning? What kind of a Monday will we have? Woo, boy.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Look, Tennessee, I do believe Tennessee is better than Oklahoma is. But, again, we're going to find out a lot. I mean, going on the road in that environment, I'm really interested to see how they handle it. And, look, the defense looks awesome. And I know Oklahoma's offensive numbers have not looked great. You've talked about some of the guys they've had out of the lineup. That's going to help Oklahoma in this game, getting those guys back. Is this the game where we really find out what exactly Tennessee's secondary is? And can Oklahoma hold up well enough? Because I don't know that anybody, with the possible exception of Georgia and Alabama, is going to be able to handle Tennessee's defensive front. But can you hold up well enough against Tennessee's defensive front where it just doesn't totally wreck the game like I think it's got the potential to do? Like I told you earlier this week, this feels like a James Pierce type of game heading into this, and it's not just him that they've got, but I think you're going to see a lot of James Pierce. You know, they've been basically holding him back, for lack of a better term. I mean, he's barely played. They've gotten him in and out of there off the field. They're in a rotation, which they're going to keep doing. You're going to see them keep going with a rotation, but it feels like this is the type of game where James Pierce can really make an impact.
Right. And look, his linebackers have been just tremendous. I mean, you can see with Keenan Peely what they missed last year with him. Hey, man, it helps to have your athletic prime is 28 to 32. So a 30-year-old out there roaming the field, man.
Played with Gerard Mayo.
Played with, I think Steve Young was his quarterback at BYU yes. when he was there. What is his actual age? He's like 25, though, for real, right?
He is.
He's good.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
He's good. And so then that gets into, again, just.
He's 26.
There you go. So he's Chris Wanky. You know, stopping the run, like you said earlier, you put them in obvious passing situations. And, I think that this game will be – a much more low-scoring game. I would take the under in this game because I think Tennessee, even though the Oklahoma getting their center back, I still think that Tennessee's just. I think Tennessee has a national championship defensive front. You know, I don't know what their secondary is. And I think we're going to have to find out more about that Saturday. Oklahoma's going to have to figure a way to test it. But I think Tennessee's going to hold the score down, and they're not going to let Oklahoma score a bunch of points. But I think it's possible that the same is true the other way. That I'm more confident in Tennessee's defense in this matchup than their offense, just because. You know, it's just like there's just so much to find out. And it starts with Nico. It's just he has not encountered this. I don't doubt that he's ready for it and that he can go in there and play well and maybe he can play great. And if that's the case, well, then this scenario in Vol Twitter's mind of a blowout is possible. But I think there's going to be some adversity for that offense.
Over-under is 56.5, by the way. 56.5.
Yeah, like I think this is going to be like a 27-23 kind of game.
Okay. I mean, I could see it. I could absolutely see it. Is there a receiver that can step up and make some big plays in this one? You know, Brazel, I think, is their leading receiver right now, but they've not really had to do much. I mean, they've got 1,000 guys playing wide receiver with the way the games have gone to this point. Now, it was good to see, I know it was Kent State, but Mike Matthews got in there the other day and made a couple of plays where you're like, whoo, man.
Yeah.
You look pretty darn good. So does he get into the rotation? Like, does he find his way on the field on Saturday night? Or is this going to be one of those games where you get to the end of it, Joe, and it's like, All right, Squirrel White, Brew McCoy, Chris Brazel, and Dante Thornton. Those are your four guys.
It's a great question. My guess would be more going still with the proven guys, but Mike Matthews does not look like a freshman at all. Physically, holy cow. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point this year, maybe he, you know, emerges a little bit because he's too talented. You know, the guy who just hasn't been involved too much, and maybe in a game like this, it's like, okay, now you go to the comfort zone, is Squirrel White, yeah. You know? But again, it's just so hard to know what
that means. I mean, he hasn't had to be, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, but this is a game where can you take the top off that defense? Can you actually hit on – they're going to take some shots. Can you hit on some of those shots? I mean, if you do, then okay. Now, you know, you got a Oklahoma's got a problem. And look, I mean, how much can Oklahoma, given how you have to play the Vols, are they good enough? Are they talented enough in that front seven to still not let Dylan Sampson go nuts? I mean, it's a huge challenge. Another thing this week is just like the sighting of the where Tennessee ranks nationally in the stats. You know, I don't care. Yeah. It means zero. But we've seen this offense. We've seen Dylan Sampson. He has emerged, and he has become a really, really good player. So what's the rushing total? If Tennessee's over 150, then I really like their chances to win.
I got a texter that says, Oklahoma struggle with Houston, struggle with Tulane. The Vols are going to win by 40. David from Sevierville says, I think Tennessee
football always works.
I think Tennessee will win fairly easily. I'm a Tulane fan, and we belonged on the field with them. Impressed with Tulane's effort, but Tennessee is clearly better. Rat poison all over the text line, all over Vol Twitter, Joe Rexrode. This is what I'm talking about. That's where I'm getting my percentages from. I don't think that 90-95% of Vols fans, I think they probably should take the 1-point win. I don't think they would. I think there's a significant portion that wouldn't.
Doesn't mean
anything. I do not believe that it would be more than 10% of Vols fans who would say, nah, let me roll the dice. I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
My number's 20%.
Gone.
I'm going 20%.
Dude, any win is huge. It's a huge win. So if you know you have a win, you take it.
I agree. I'd sign up for it right now. I'm just telling you. I know Vol Twitter. I know my people, Joe.
And you do. You do.
There's a significant portion that would not do that. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode is coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's Daddy's Dogs, Nashville's biggest and best gourmet hot dogs. Whether you're taking your office lunch to the next level or saving your life on the late night streets of Broadway, you can't go bigger or better than Daddy's Dogs. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $25 gift card for half price while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'm out on my face all day, coach.
Oh, you, Mason, just you, will ya? Why don't we talk after the game, all right? Just shut the up. Can you look at the scoreboard?
That's really unnecessary. Just get up and go run another good play.
I wouldn't know what that was like. I never ran the ball, you know, that far for a first down. So
yeah, you did. You did it against us. Yeah, you get it against us. It's probably coming up on the highlights now.
It is that time of the day on the program. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode, which you can check out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexrode with the beautiful dulcet tones of Bill Belichick, media guru, in the background. I turn things over to you.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I've really enjoyed Bill Belichick in this new role. I mean, first of all, I guess it starts with the Brady roast, and I was like, wow, Bill getting after it here. I mean, he jumped right in there, kind of took the crap his way and sent a lot Brady's way, and that was great. And I think I've really enjoyed his analysis. I think this Manning Belichick sort of it's sort of like the new NFL matchup show. I saw some of that. It was good. He was entertaining on the Manning cast. I've seen him on clips of him on McAfee. You know, it's I mean, it's pretty cool. He's opening up, and I don't know if he wants to coach again, or if this is just his new life. We'll see. But I hope he goes into coaching again, because I will never listen to Bill Belichick ever again. I will not listen to Bill Belichick. I don't care if he wants to go on TikTok and give a great recipe for, like, you know, chicken cordon bleu. He is dead to me, because he said this on the Let's Go, which is such a dumb name for a podcast. He said this week about the Detroit Lions.
Oh boy.
And about Matt Patricia, who, as people may know, was the Detroit Lions head coach. He said, quote, "I think the Lions have built a really good offensive line for the quarterback. They couldn't get a lot of production in the red area last week. But that's something that Matt Patricia started, and now they're kind of getting the fruits of the labor from him," end quote.
Now we're talking.
Bill Belichick said that publicly. I'm not going to sit here and detail everything about Matt Patricia's tenure with the Lions, but it was truly like an all-time horrific coaching tenure, okay? 13-29-1, which is a 314 winning percentage, fourth lowest of any head coach in Lions history. Let me tell you something. If you're in the bottom five in Lions history, you've achieved something. He was hated. Like, Darius Slay was about to leave the country. Like, there's so many stories of him completely botching that job and just being awful to players, and he couldn't win, and he was terrible in every way. And even then, like, I could see if there was some truth to what Belichick said, you could kind of mention it. One guy in his tenure as Lions coach is on this line. It's center Frank Ragnow. Good pick. That was a good pick by them. He's banged up and all that. He's a good player. He was their first-round pick in 2018. One guy. Taylor Decker and Graham Glasgow were there before Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia got there. Penei Sewell and Kevin Zeitler were, of course, after. So one guy on the offensive line, the banged-up aging center, who everybody wasn't sure if he was going to retire last season or not, that's the fruits of Matt Patricia's labor? Bill, it sucks because I've really enjoyed it, but I'm flipping the channel now. I'm done. I know he's your guy, but like, this is gaslight. That's worse gaslighting than Deion's crap this week. I mean, what are you talking about?
I mean, we know that the offensive line really starts with the center, with the interior position there. Glasnow, very key piece to it. I think you might be on something. I think Matt, finally, you know, we've been waiting. But that genius, like the Jedi Master, Matt Patricia, has come in, and we're seeing the fruits of it now. And Dan Campbell, when he's not filming his Applebee's commercials, is being able to take advantage of it, even though they lost last week, and he got up there crying on the podium again.
And by the way, along the lines of the Will Levis people taking his phone number, which is ridiculous. Apparently some Lions fans found Dan Campbell's house. I mean, yeah. I know Keezer sent us this tweet last night. And so they're moving. They have to move because these freaking Lions fans are, jeez, you know, I don't know, what are they doing? Like, Dan, hey buddy. And he's like hanging out in the bushes. They're like, what are they doing? Trying to, like, you know, cut his grass. Like, it's just, man.
They're showing him video of what a punt is. Like, this is a punt. And you can do that every now and then on fourth down.
Trying to say, Dan, thanks for your work, and you're really building on what Matt Patricia did here. Really appreciate it.
So when the Lions win the Super Bowl this year, like, do they give Matt Patricia like an honorary Super Bowl ring? Like, how does that work?
I mean, Belichick might make one for him. Here you go. Here you go, Matt. Hey, you deserve this, buddy. Here you go. I mean, it's
great
just,
job.
What is Matt Patricia doing? I know that he was like with the Eagles last year, and they're like, oh my God, is he the worst DC? Yeah, you know, he goes to New England, he's like fake OC. Like, everything he touches turns to crap. Have we not noticed this? Like, he was a good linebackers coach of the Patriots like 12 years ago.
I'm not seeing where he is. Like, he may not be anywhere right now.
Just chilling and enjoying the Lions, enjoying the fruits of his labor.
Yeah, he's just waiting for that next call, man. The next head coaching gig that I'm sure is right around the corner after the Lions win the Super Bowl this year. Good on Bill.
Please, Bill.
Bill's loyal to his guy.
Good on Bill. I'm wondering if Bill's playing a little bit too much duck, duck, goose these days. Okay, let's get your crap together and let's get focused, locked in. I know you got a lot of the friends around the league, a lot of these coaches, you know, who coach with you and they're your buddies. You don't have to tell people lies about how good they were as coaches because they're your friends.
Hey, that new relationship he's in has turned over a new leaf. I mean, he joined Instagram. Now he's like fun to watch on television. Billy B's living his best life, man. This is some good stuff. This relationship's been really good for him.
It has been, and that's what's sad about this, you know, that I have to – that he's now dead to me. I feel bad about it, but click as soon as I see him from now on.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Packers coming up in Week 3, plus NFL headlines from around the league as well. Take your questions for Charles as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.